You have to understand what has taken place at this time. Jesus has been born. It's 8 days later. The Bible said in verse 21, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. God already had a name for the Lord Jesus Christ before he was ever conceived. Ain't that something tonight? And so you have to understand, as Mary and Joseph is going to the temple now, and that to offer, the Bible said here in verse 24, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And so we pick up in verse 25 and says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Heavenly Father, ask for help now. We love you and we thank you. Would you just meet with us for just a little while? Save somebody that might be lost and encourage those that need it. But Lord, might we see you tonight more than anything. Might we just see you. We love you. Touch us now for this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the eighth day of Jesus had come about in his life, and Mary and Joseph takes him to the temple, and that to do what the law said to do right here, and we find this man by the name of Simeon, who the Bible actually gives a very good testimony to. As a matter of fact, it said that this same man was just and devout. I thought, well, that was a good testimony. He loved God. He wanted to live for God. He was devout to God. He kept the law, but he was a just man. The difference between him and the Pharisees is they were devout at keeping the law, but they were not just in keeping the law. But this man was. And so we find that not only was he just and devout, but he said that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that word consolation simply means a comfort or something that relieves an alleviation of distress and misery. And so he was waiting on God to send his consolation. Can I tell you today, shouldn't we be doing the same thing? Shouldn't we be waiting on the Savior that is to come for us? Listen, he's not going to come and die like he did during the days of when he came and was sacrificed. But when he comes for us, it's come to get us before his wrath is poured out upon this earth. And he'll be our consolation. As I said this morning, I'm tired of this place. I don't feel at home in this world. Listen, we used to sing them old songs out of the Redback Book like we still do tonight. But when I was a young man and we'd sing them songs, I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Listen, that song didn't mean a whole lot to me then. But the older that I've gotten, the closer you get to the Lord, listen, this world don't mean anything to you anymore. It grows and it fades more and more every day. Friend, that I'm looking forward to heaven and getting out of here. But I'm waiting on him. I'm waiting on him. Listen, and while I'm waiting, I'm going to serve him. But he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he said it was revealed to him. And when I hope I got ahead of myself, and he said the Holy Ghost was upon him. Well, that's a pretty good thing, ain't it? Amen. To have the Holy Spirit upon you. And so the Lord had revealed to him that he would see the Christ. And so there come a day that he was led by the Spirit up to the temple. And I know that I've preached before over the years that he would go up to the temple and peek in them swaddling clothes. And God would say, no, not him. I don't know if that's how he done it. But I know this day was a different day. I know this day that God moved him to go up to the temple and see this baby that was coming about. And can you imagine that day when he walked up and that to the temple, and here comes Mary and Joseph, and things were bustling about. They had had that census of that taxing that was taking place there in Jerusalem. And I mean, it was just a bustle about things. And here they go and that to the temple to offer their sacrifice. And here comes this man that they had never seen before and says, let me see that baby. And can you imagine as he took it, and the Bible said right here that as he came, it says that he took him up in his arms. Now some of you mamas in here tonight and daddies wouldn't dare let a stranger take your baby from you at 8 days old. But here come this man by the name of Simeon coming up to the house of God and says, let me see that baby. And as he takes him and he looks at him, he knew exactly who he was. He had seen the very face of God resting there in his arms and in his hands. That's something to think about tonight. Simeon got to hold the Lord. Imagine how just and devout. Imagine how much he loved God that God allowed him to do that. Think about that for just a second. Think about how much Mary must have loved God and served God that God chose her to carry his very son into this world. Imagine how much Joseph loved God that he was going to let his very son be raised in his house. Think about that for just a minute. Would God choose your house? Would God choose your home? Would God choose this church to send his very son to? Ain't that a good question tonight? I never thought about that before. But here stands this man. And so he takes him up, and the Bible said right here that he blessed God, and here's what he said. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. What was his word? He said, you'd see the Christ. He said, you'd see the Christ. And he says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. If I could preach for just a little bit tonight, or just a minute, we'll try not to be too long. But I just want to preach on a simple thought about Simeon's prophecy and what he said about the Lord. So here they stand as they're going into the temple or coming out. One or the other, God gets him there and he sees him. And there's two things that I just really want to see about this prophecy. Two main things. One is he talks about who the Lord is. He simply talks about who Jesus is. In verse 30, he said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Can I say tonight that that little babe that was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in the manger over there, and 8 days later they take him to the temple, he was the salvation of the whole world. What was it that the angel again said in the book of Matthew chapter 1? For he shall save his people from their sins. Listen, do you realize that it is only in Christ Jesus tonight that salvation is found? Folks, got a lot of ways and got a lot of thoughts. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But Jesus said in John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You go to John chapter 11, verse 25, when he's talking to Martha over there. And what did he say? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Listen tonight. Simeon said a mouthful when he said, I've seen the salvation of God. How many of us have seen the salvation of the Lord tonight? There's a lot of people who wants to keep Jesus in that manger. There's a lot of people wants to keep Jesus as a babe in the manger. He's not too convicting as long as he's in the manger, is he? He's not too convicting when he's just a little boy over there, 12 years old, and maybe in the temple. But boy, when he turns 30 and starts his ministry, his life becomes very convicting. Well, when they beat on him and they take him and they hang him up at Calvary, his life becomes very convicting and becomes very convincing. When he walks out of the tomb, his life is very convicting because, listen, friend, he come to do all that for me and you. But man needs salvation. So as Simeon said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He is salvation for everybody, isn't he? Acts chapter 4 said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He said, there is none other name under heaven. What is that name? Jesus. Only Jesus can say. I like that old song that Brother Roloff sings as he's coming on the air. Once sat alone by the highway begging. Eyes were blind, he could not see. Clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. But Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. Boy, ain't you glad there was a night when Jesus came? Or there was a day, an afternoon that Jesus came and he bade your darkness flee from your life. Ain't that wonderful tonight? Listen, as Simeon stood there, and I get it pictured in my mind, and I know we all have different ways of thinking about things, but can you imagine, here stands Mary and Joseph, and I mean, listen, they've already met with the angel. The angel's already told them what was going to happen. She spent months and months with Elizabeth over there, whose son was John the Baptist. I mean, those shepherds had come in out of the field that night when Jesus was born. I mean, they would just come to see the Christ child. And Mary has thought about all this. And then now here stands this man telling them that this boy, this little child that you're holding in your arms is going to be the salvation of the whole world. And then he makes a statement that I always found kind of strange. He said, he's come not only for salvation, which he hath prepared before the face of all people, because all people need salvation. All people need saving tonight. There ain't a one that's ever been birthed into this earth other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself that didn't need saving. From the days of Adam to that last baby is brought into this world, they're going to need saving tonight. But notice what he said. In verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And then he said, in the glory of thy people Israel. As I read this and studied that, you know, Jesus came unto his own. The Bible said that he came to save his people from their sins. Now he was talking about Israel right there. It's what he's talking about. Israel had always been promised a Messiah. You remember what they kept asking John the Baptist over there? Art thou that prophet? What prophet was he talking about? They were talking about that prophet that Moses had promised. He said, God's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. Him you'll hear. That root and that stem of Jesse, that bright and that morning star, that lily of the valley that the Old Testament talked about over and over and over again. But you know, the very first thing he talked about was salvation. But then he talked about that this child is that I'm holding. Let me hold him like this. I guess he could have held him up like this. I don't know how he's holding him, but he said, he's going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. You know, Gentiles were just heathen people. I mean, if you go over there and look, you remember when that Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord and said, can you just heal my daughter? And he ignored her for a while. And finally, he said, it's not me to give the children's bread unto dogs. Listen, they thought Gentiles was dogs and low down. And she said, yeah, but even the dogs get to eat from the master's crumbs off the table. And boy, he called and said that she had great faith. But said he was going to come and lighten the ways of the Gentiles to make a people who had really not been a people. Did you notice that he talked about the Gentiles first in comparison to the nation of Israel? Now, things is always in a list for a reason in the Bible. Because he went on to say in the glory, he will not only be a light to lighten the Gentiles. And boy, ain't you glad he lightened you one night and bade your darkness flee. Amen. I mean, the Bible talked about, wherefore remember that thou being in times past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He came unto his own. You know, it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But you know, there come a day that he quit going to the Jew first. It's whosoever will. But notice that he said right here, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Boy, them people that sat in darkness, them people that didn't have a God, them people that he run out of the land of Canaan over there. You remember all them Ammonites and Perizzites and Canaanites, all the heathens, the Moabites? You remember all them? You know what they were? Gentiles. You know what we are? Gentiles. But we're all of the faith of Father Abraham tonight. Read the book of Galatians over there. But he said a light to lighten the Gentiles. Christ Jesus, this one that came. You know, the Lord at this time only seen two people, Jew and Gentile. Those are the two people that he saw. Can I just go ahead and tell you who he sees today? You know who he sees today? Saved and unsaved. Saved and lost. That's it. He don't see Jew and Gentile. He sees saved and unsaved. But then notice right here, he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You know, that word glory means brightness and splendor or magnificence and praise. Can I ask you tonight, when he came, did he have that from the nation of Israel? Did he have that? The Bible said in John 1:11 that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I know that he had a group of people that followed him. I know that he done most of his ministry in Galilee, up there around the Sea of Gennesaret and the Sea of Galilee. And he would go to Jerusalem when it was necessary, and he would travel when it was necessary. But I'm going to tell you tonight, as a whole, Israel did not accept him. As a matter of fact, they stood out there that day in Jerusalem and said, crucify him, crucify him. But do you realize that there is coming a day that he will be the glory of Israel? Do you realize that there's coming a day that those that rejected him is going to realize who he is? I watched some video the other day of them over there in the land of Israel. And they were all together in a crowd. I don't know how long ago it's been, but they were standing there and they were waiting for their coming Messiah. And I thought, man, you're just about 2,000 years too late, because they missed him. And that's why when the Antichrist comes, they're going to trust him. But tonight, there's coming a time when he will be the glory of Israel. Who he is he's salvation. And he is a light to the Gentiles, and he is the glory of Israel. But then the Bible said is Joseph and his mother. The King James Bible always separates out who Joseph is. A lot of versions would say his father and his mother. But your King James Bible will always tell you it's Joseph. Joseph was not his father. The heavenly God was his father tonight. And so in verse 34, Simeon turns, and as he blesses them, he turns and he looks at Mary. And so he says not only who he is, but then what he's going to do. He says, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And let me read without the parenthetical part right now. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And in that parenthetical part, he tells Mary, he says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. And so he not only tells who he is, but he tells what he's going to do and what's going to happen. He's going to be for the rise and the fall, or the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. Can I tell you tonight that he's called the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense for a reason? They didn't believe him. They didn't trust him. You know the problem that we have today? He is a rock of offense and a stone of stumbling. You know, Jesus offends people, don't he? Why is it that our nation is against Christianity, but yet they're welcoming and that to Muslims tonight? Why is it that as things creep on and goes on that they hate Christians more and more? We're peaceable people, ain't we, tonight? The Bible teaches us to be peaceable people. Who would you want to work next to? Would you want to work next to a heathen or to a Christian? Who would you want your children to go to school with tonight? A heathen or go to school with Christian boys and girls? Which one? Who do you want to live with? A heathen or a Christian wife or a Christian husband tonight? But notice it said right here that, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. In Isaiah chapter 8, as he made prophecy of the Lord Jesus, it said, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare out of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That word gin simply means a trap. They said, they're not going to want him. They're going to refuse him. Romans chapter 9, he said, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? That's the question. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know what people stumble at today? They stumble at putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be that easy. Are you serious, preacher, that I have to trust that a man went to Calvary and died for my sin, or you must realize that you're a sinner needing a Savior? I ain't found a sinner in a long time, have you? 1 Corinthians said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a what? Stumbling block. And unto Greeks, foolishness. So he said there's going to be for the fall and the rise again. Because they did not accept Christ, that did cause Israel to fall. You remember they come out there and said that day as they were crucifying him, you remember what they said? Let his blood be upon our head and on our children. As you've heard me say many times, God obliged that. God said, okay, if that's what you want to do, that's what I'll do. I'll put it on you, and I'll put it on your children and your children's children and your children's children. And the Jews have suffered ever since then. Now there was those that trusted the Lord during that day. And there was those that knew him. I mean, just people like Mary and Martha, they trusted the Lord. He had 11 disciples that trusted him and knew him. I was about to say 12, but Judas was far from him. There was that band, that little band of women that followed him everywhere that he went. Independent Baptists give women a hard time sometimes. I'm going to say a couple of things right here. I don't know how I got here, but it's good. But one, it was those women that followed him and ministered unto him. And it's been because of women that some churches have stayed open along the way. There's been mamas and grandmamas that has made sure that things has got took care of at the church when men was too sorry to do it. But he said it's going to be for the fall. Notice that he gave the fall first. He said that what? Behold, this child is set for the fall. So Israel had to fall and rising again of many in Israel. And no doubt Israel will be restored one day after a while. You know, the Bible talks about him being the rock of offense and talks about him being the rock. And I mean, listen, we're built upon the rock tonight. I understand that. But you know, the Bible said, did you never read in the scriptures that the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. That was a question, by the way. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof, Gentiles. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. I'm glad I fell on him and became broke. There's a lot of people waiting for Jesus to come, and he's going to fall on them and grind them to powder. He said he'll not only be for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, but he'll also be for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Not only was he to be for the fall and the rise, but he was to be a sign. The Lord was sent, and that to reveal not only to them who God was, but to reveal to them that God's word was true, and reveal to them and that how that they were truly in that to come to God. In a day and age when things have become so corrupt, kind of like today, isn't it? Things have become so corrupt that he comes to them and he is a sign to them. You remember what John the Baptist, I mean, John come preaching. There's one coming. He was making the way ready. You know, behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus was that sign. And he says, behold, the child set for fall and rising among many, again of many, fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. As he come and done his works and proclaimed who he was, that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? As he pointed to God, he did. I mean, all his works was to glorify the Heavenly Father, but yet they were against him, wasn't they? And you know what he told Mary right there? He said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Now, two things about that. One, Mary was going to be sorrowful. Her life was going to be filled with sorrow. Can you imagine standing down there at the foot of Calvary and watching your very son be crucified? The one that you'd gave birth to, the one that the angels had come and seen you, the one that the angel had promised over there, not only to you but also to your husband, that he's the one that's going to save his people from their sins. And some 2 years later, here comes these three wise men out of the east bearing gold, frankincense, and myrrh, no telling what else, and they've come to see the king. You know, the Bible tells us over here that Mary done something in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Do you think that Jesus really done his first miracle over there in the wedding of Cana of Galilee? Do you remember what Mary told them? It was Mary that pointed him out. When they ran out of wine over there, do you remember what Mary said? Whatever he tells you to do, that's what you do. She knew what could happen. I don't think that Jesus grew up in her house for 30 years and she hadn't seen him do some things. I don't think for 30 years that he grew up in her house and he didn't know who he was. He knew exactly who he was. But yet in a short 3.5 years, as a sword pierced through her soul, but notice the word also. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. That means a sword was going to pierce through somebody else's also. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus right there. As he was what? A sign to be spoken against, that the thoughts of the many hearts may be revealed. You know why they hated Jesus? Because he confronted them and showed them exactly who they were. You know why folk really hate Jesus today? Because he confronts them and shows them who they really are. In the light of Christ, we're all sinners tonight. In the sign of Christ, we're all needing a Savior tonight. I mean, why would you want to talk against him? Even if you didn't believe in him, why would you want to talk against him? He makes bad people better people that believe in him. He makes bad people become good people that trust him. Why would you want to even talk against him? Think about it for just a second. Some of y'all were not the best in the world tonight when you got saved. Did he make you better than what you were? Did he not change you? He searches people out and convicts them. And he says that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I think that's why people don't like him, is because he gets into their heart. And he begins to reveal what you are to yourself. And so tonight, Simeon said a mouthful when he gave them few verses of prophecy over there of what the Lord was going, who he was and what he was going to do. I'm so glad the Lord came. Ain't you glad he came tonight? Ain't you glad he came to you? I've thought recently about the Lord, about how magnificent and how wonderful he is. And you know, he don't work in our time frame, and he don't work like we work. And what I mean by that is, you know, he deals with everybody in here tonight. We could all pray at the same time and pray a different prayer, and he would hear our prayer. How does he do that? How does he convict people sitting in this church house, and yet all the way on the other side of the world, if somebody hears the gospel over there, he can convict them too, and everybody in between? How does that work? How is he so big tonight that he created the universe? He's bigger than the universe. You know, there's just so many questions that even in my age that I don't have the answer to, but I know that he does. And I know that he's real tonight. But you know, more than all that stuff that I was talking about, he's real to me. And he's my friend tonight. I'm so glad that Jesus came as that babe over there in the manger. And 8 days later, Simeon holds him up, looks at him and said, "Here's your salvation of the Lord tonight. I hope you know him tonight. I hope you know. Hope you know to praise him tonight for what he's done." Let's bow our heads tonight across the house.